This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Sure. And I could easily say
dope.
That like Tua just wasn't equipped,
right?
You know, so I'm willing to do that. I mean, his defenses are freaking unbelievable. I mean, the fact that that Minnesota team with their quarterback play got 8 wins, that's because of that defense. So I'm definitely open.
It
to
is
Brian
interesting.
Flores.
We have sort of, we can go back and relitigate the Tua Flores schism now, right? Back then, it was like Tua's a good guy, Flores is a jackass, put him through the ringer, whatever else.
Yep.
Now it's more like maybe Tua wasn't all the everything he was cracked up to be, and this was more.
Minnesota had a winning record, not even 8 wins. They got to over 500 with J.J. McCarthy, Max Brosmer. I mean, that's a credit to Flores. Let's be honest.
It's the J&J Show, 9 to noon next Monday. Thanks, John. Appreciate it.
All right, man. We'll talk to you on Friday.
Yeah,
okay,
bring out Kleenex. Get out of here. We got Chris Harrington coming up next, then Sam Hardiman. It's Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. This is 3 for 3 on goodbye songs. Chris, what are we listening to?
So what's so good about Goodbye? A Relative Obscurity by Smokey and the Miracles. Not one of their well-known songs, but one of the good ones.
All right. Speaking of one of the good ones in terms of results last night is the Grizzlies end their ignominious streak of 16 straight losses at home to teams with winning records. We were talking about Cam Spencer yesterday and his recent struggles, and big night for him.
Yeah, no, he got going. He got some better shots, and then I think he got confidence, and then he was hitting some hard shots. There were a couple plays where I think it's like he basically dribbled in a circle and weaved around people for 20 seconds and then, like, threw up a contested mid-range shot and got fouled on a couple of them. And so, you know, things happen in individual games, right? So is that, like, he's adjusted to the attention and now he'll just be awesome in every game? I don't know. But I thought he got going in that game. The play in my game story, I sort of led with this play because in the moment, it felt important to me in the moment. And then when the rest of the fourth quarter happened, it sort of seemed more that way. But there was a play early in the fourth where Jaren Jackson Jr. gets a block, Vince Williams gets the outlet, and just takes one really hard dribble. And part of this is I was sitting literally right in front of where this happened. Took one hard dribble to set up the shovel pass to Cam Spencer in stride, right in the pocket, a perfect catch and shoot in rhythm, bang, hits the three. And I felt like Vince creating that shot for Cam Spencer in that moment really helped get him going.
It is interesting because this was really, I mean, Landup was great last night and Jaren did some things, but it was really Vince's return and Cam,
yeah,
who were sort of the stars of this show, Vince defensively as well, although he shot very well from three, which is you're not going to expect.
No, that's right. But you got that game, and I thought Vince Williams was the best player on the floor in that game for the Grizzlies,
right?
In terms of the totality of what he did game on both ends of the floor, the physicality, the sort of sense of purpose and the demeanor he had in that game, I thought gave them an enormous boost.
So he had been out with a knee, right?
Yeah. Patellar tendonitis, which I looked that up. I was like, what is a patellar? So I looked that up, and it's AKA jumper's knee. So it's like a repetitive use, you know, soreness
This is the same thing, some sort of same.
Like, no, he had ankle stuff, right. But then before that, every basketball player has knee stuff at one point or another. I mean, the most common injury list thing before this season it's calf.
It seems to be. Season of the calf,
right? But prior to this season, the most common like injury report designation NBA wide is knee soreness. Like everyone has knee soreness all the time. Right, you know, it's just how bad is your knee soreness?
Well, it's just interesting because again, in this ideal world where sometime they're healthy. Which unreachable universe. You do wonder how Vince and Cam will those two were both so significant last night.
Vince is unfortunately not as far into this zone, but he's sort of in the Brandon Clark range of he's good when he plays. Right. If you the two Vince Williams issues are durability and shooting, right? He struggles to stay healthy and he's an erratic 3-point shooter. If you told me he's going to stay healthy as much as anyone else stays healthy, and he's going to be a consistent 38% three-point shooter, I would tell you put him in the starting lineup.
Right.
But those two things are not true, unfortunately.
And probably won't be.
And probably won't be, right. But good when he plays, and again, he's had durability issues, but it's not like Brandon Clark level. And so, and he's also on a contract that's a sixth the size, too. Right. And so, like, if he's healthy, he's playing for me a lot. Right. And if he's not, then, like, next man up.
Well, know? I mean, and of course, it's been there's never been, certainly this year, an issue of finding minutes for people.
Right.
It's not been an issue.
No.
But now we're looking at, I gather there was a update on Ty Jerome.
He had asked a question and he had to answer it. It was not a voluntary update. And it's not much of an update. My sense on Jerome is if he makes it back within the return to play window they did announce a while back, it's going to be the far end of that. So I would table your Ty Jerome expectation.
I don't have to sort out Cam Spencer.
I'd wait a few weeks on that one still.
Okay. And back to Cam Spencer really quickly. I don't think anyone thinks he's figured it out and now he's going to be great. But Isla talked about this afterwards, right? Yeah. Adjustment, readjustment, adjusting. Well,
I asked him, and so he picked up what I was putting down. Gave me a quote. I put it in his words instead of mine.
You what, know? By the way, did you make of him listing all the injuries? He wouldn't have done that after a loss, by the way. You do that after a win.
No, you know? I think there's, I don't know, pressure, I guess. I mean, I think he's aware of, like, you know, the team losing some of these close games and some of the criticism probably that he's had. He had another interesting quote in whatever the last home game was, the Philadelphia game, where he said something like, even I too have emotion. Like he's aware of the caricature of him that people have, right? Which is like any other character, partly rooted in reality, right? So he's a smart guy and he's aware of all that. And I think that was him sort of saying, you know, like we do care. We are dealing with a lot of stuff. And before the game, he had an interesting quote where he said, which I use, he said, you know, we're searching for a stable lineup. And, like, it's hard on the players when, like, you.
I thought that was interesting that he said it's hard on the players. We think about it's hard on the fans.
Right.
Or maybe hard on the management, but it's hard on the players themselves.
And so I think you could see it on the floor. You could see the emotion of the players and the relief of, like, pushing through after losing. Because they'd lost four in a row, but they had all been single digits. Right? They'd been losing these close games. And so to push through like that, and I think for some of the players who have been there a while, there was an awareness of, like, we haven't beaten a good team at home in a while. Santi addressed that. He actually said something to that effect. And you could just see what he said about, like, the guys who are out there are really, you know, giving it blah, blah, blah. That's just true. And, like, you know, that's true of lots of teams around the league, and, like, you still lose games and whatever. But it is true. And in that moment, like, when you see the reaction of a Jock Landale, of a Jaren Jackson, of a Santi Aldama, like, you know, I mean, if you're a fan or you're just watching the game, like, you relate to that and you want to see sort of, you know.
Jock Landale, he seemed to be pleased with his alley-oop.
You know, that was funny because that's something I'd been noting, like early in the season. Like, this guy just can't finish an alley-oop.
Right.
And then they have this alley-oop play. I don't remember who threw the pass, but he caught it and finished it in one motion. He didn't catch it, bring it down. And then go back up, right? He caught and finished in one motion, but he finished it as a layup, not a dunk.
No, not a dunk.
And he immediately turned, He started running down the floor, immediately turned and smiled real big, and he pointed to the bench. And I turned over the bench, and all the guys on the bench are standing up pointing back. And so he got asked about that after the game, and like, good intel, or basically, you know, good background. He said, I was pointing to Scottie Pippen, who Scottie Pippen makes fun of me for not being able to finish lobs. And I was like, I told him, look, I can do this. I can get up.
That's fantastic. Vince, obviously, he was 4-6 from three, but it was the whole game, and it, particularly his defensively was terrific.
That was essential, and Isolo said, I didn't use this part of the quote because it gets too cumbersome, but he said, as part of the being asked about putting Vince on Fox at the end, he said, you know, Jalen Wells had gotten hit in the leg, and he was sort of nursing that a little bit. So I assume that is true, but it also probably gives a little cover too, like we made a defensive switch to a better defender in that moment, which I think, even if Jalen Wells is 100% healthy, I think Vince Williams was the better on-ball defender for that matchup.
No Ja.
Yep.
What are you?
You know, I wonder, I'll be interested to see tonight. Because I said on the show yesterday, I think he'll probably play. I mean, it's been a questionable thing with a calf contusion, like two games in a row. If your list is questionable, you should be pretty close. And you're like, yeah. And I forgot about it being a back-to-back.
Well,
so I wonder if – we'll see. I mean, maybe he doesn't play tonight. But I wonder if there was an element to, okay, we're not going to play both halves of the back-to-back, so let's wait till tomorrow against Phoenix. So we'll see if that happens. If that doesn't happen and he, like, doesn't play again, I would raise an eyebrow at that.
We did get some sort of a said not serious. Wasn't that what you
said? Yeah, I asked Isolo about that before the game, and what he basically said was, you know, he said he characterized it as not serious, and he said that, you know, whatever the timetable or whatever the period of absence that it's going to be is not going to be as long as we'd feared. And after he said that before the game, when they're just doing the little pregame shoot around, I noticed Coward was out there. You don't see this very often in street clothes. He's just out there like dribbling the ball in the middle of the floor with everybody else, not wearing a boot. So I don't know how long it'll be, but it certainly does not seem to be a big deal.
And then we have Wemby hitting the three in transition to put him up, sitting down with 3.5 minutes left and not coming back. That is BS.
I agree, but it's a good reminder for
Memphis fans,
for Grizzlies fans, that like things that frustrate you about player usage and energy management are not exclusive to the Memphis Grizzlies. You know, this is an NBA thing. You can, for better or for worse, for good or ill, like it is a thing.
Isn't that, I mean, to me, that's a problem. You have a regular season game. There are only it's ridiculous.
I agree. I understand more when like, okay, we're sitting a guy in a back-to-back. We're sitting one of the 3 and 4 days. We're doing, to me, that makes a lot more sense to manage situations than, well, we have him at, you know, 20 minutes on his minutes restriction. We've already gone to 21. We can't play him these extra 2 minutes in this tight game. I think that stuff is a little overboard. I agree.
And I think it hurts the product. I just think it hurts the
Well, of course it hurts the product. Right. But at some point, there is a line there. This question is, where's the line? And I agree that's the line in the wrong place.
Right.
No, I agree
with you.
That's a clear one. But at some point there is this is not a video game. Like these guys are not robots. We want to think that every player should, you're making $50 million. You should play 38 minutes every single game. That's just not reality.
No, it's not reality. And furthermore, we want them to win championships. We want them to it's just this one. This one seemed particularly.
This would have been like, you know, for all the consternation about some of the Grizzly stuff, this would have been like them not bringing Coward and Ja back out for overtime in that Sixers game, you know?
Yeah.
We said, oh, well, he was on a minutes restriction. We're going to set him down, even though it's overtime. I mean, there's really not that much of a difference. It was a 1-point game with, you know, 4 minutes to play.
So you got the Suns tonight. Really, my most disappointing team of the year.
Yeah, 100%.
It is just devastating that they are not going to deliver the lottery pick they were supposed to deliver.
They might deliver the lottery pick, but if they do, it's going to be like 13th, 14th and have like a 0.5% chance of jumping up, you know?
Why are they better than we think or we thought? And how much does Dylan have to do with it?
Dylan has a lot to do with it. I think there are a few different things. I think they hired this coach that no one really knew anything about, and he's done a good job. I think they have constructed a team that's less of a fantasy team and more of a basketball team, and it makes sense. And part of that is you bring in Dylan, you have a real defensive anchor on the perimeter. a guy who really has given you that toughness and that defense, and also has been better offensively this season than has been his norm in his career. And then they you know, you talk about, you know, the Cam Spencer kind of thing. They found theirs, and this guy Colin Gillespie, who'd been a very, very good right. college player at Villanova, just like Cam Spencer had been a very good college player at Connecticut, and was the kind of guy who was like, oh, this, like, this stubby little white guy who's kind of slow. Can he really play? And he's a second-round pick, and he bounces around. He's another one of these guys who I think Denver had, and, like, they just didn't use him,
right.
you know? And they find this guy, and they give him an opportunity, and, like, he's been one of the most improved players in the entire league, and he's given them what they thought they were getting with Tyus Jones, honestly, that right. they didn't, which is this real, true point guard, clutch shooter, set the table, fit in. So now you have like a real defensive anchor. You have a real point guard. They went out and got Mark Williams, who's a real big. It's a basketball team now instead of just a bunch of guys who look good on paper.
You also, and I'm sure it wasn't a coincidence, your latest in your top 25 Grizzlies for their 25 years in Memphis. Vince is number... I mean, not Vince. Dylan is number 15.
It was almost coincidence. So it would have landed without planning. It would have landed on this day. But we ended up not doing one last week, taking a week off because of the holiday, and that would have pushed it back to next week. And so I did flop two.
Oh.
So I moved Dylan from, what is it? What is
he's 15.
15. So I moved him.
You moved him up. You moved him down.
Yes.
14. He would. Yeah. Is that right? Is that
no, it's the other way.
Right, around. Yeah. Right.
So it would have. Yes. I'm confused. Yes. No, he would have been 14. So I pushed him back to 15. And the guy I had at 15, I put to 14. Because honestly, who cares? Who's
right.
14 or
right.
two, who's
cares?
15? To sync it up. So there we go.
Another reason for him to feel aggrieved, though. Dylan
That's
to
right.
feel aggrieved. Now, you did say that if they handed out awards for various Grizzlies award show, he would be most dramatic.
Yeah,
I liked your other nominees, though. I liked the list. You people read this piece over at the Daily Memphian as well as a story from last night. The others who would be on the short list would be J. Will.
And the nominees are.
And the nominees are J. Will, Ja, Mark, and Tony.
Yeah.
That's a dramatic group.
Drama takes different forms, but those dudes were dramatic. We think of dramatic in like a negative way, but who's
Darko.
That? He wasn't around long enough. He was a little drama. But like Marc Gasol was like Shakespearean.
I know.
He was
Shakespearean.
In his drama. And Tony Allen was a little bit more like, you know, a little bit more madcap, unhinged. And
Jay Will was mostly drama in the way that he played basketball.
In the way that he interacted or didn't
with
in post-game locker rooms, as you well know.
Yes,
there was some drama there.
And
he was a guy who was most like, and not even, I mean, that interaction with you has lived on more, but in the moment, like when he did his whole like, we suck, go write this.
That's right, go write this. We suck.
I mean, that's drama.
That's drama. Do you really think Dylan more dramatic than Ja?
And yes, in a more performative, demonstrative kind of way. Like the Ja drama is deeper in a lot of ways
right.
and more significant. It's a weightier drama.
Right.
But I think Dylan, there's an elaborateness to the Dylan Brooks drama.
Well, this
drama.
Is what I was going to ask you about. So in the piece, Dylan, the way he dressed, the way he, the sunglasses in the locker room, the fur coat, the no shirt, the like,
yeah.
I don't know if you have any favorites. You suggest that this was all with a wink. There is a wink to it all and a self-conscious how...
I think a lot of what he does, there's a little bit of wink behind the sunglasses. Not all of it, but a lot of it there is. And the clothing stuff, this is just me reading in. I truly believe it is him partly making fun of his teammates, like Jaren Jackson Jr., who like have stylists who
right.
dress them.
People across the league who are doing this.
Because
right?
this was brought up a couple times. He was very clear to me, like, no,
I'm
no,
my
no.
own stylist.
I'm my own stylist. And the thing where he's holding up like the knit cap with the Mickey Mouse ears, he's like, it's kind of like a runway piece.
Well, I do think it's giving him credit if it's all a big spoof, a big... trolling the whatever.
The one thing, another thing about Dylan, there was a quote recently, someone asked Jamal Murray about Dylan, or maybe it was Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, one of the two, about because they were on the Canadian national team with him.
And
they had played, and they were like, Dylan's great. Dylan's the best. He's such a different guy off the floor. He's, you know, teammates like Dylan.
Right.
He's bounced through multiple stops, and like, there's been issues, you know, with front office and fan bases and whatever. Not this year, everyone loves him in Phoenix now. But teammates like Dylan.
Right. Well, this the issue of self-awareness, there was the other time, and you pointed this out in the piece, he was in some ways utterly not self-aware. Like when he said that there's a big three.
And I'm in it. that is a force of self-belief that made him
propelled him.
Yes,
to be what he was.
That's part of that's part of the recipe. That's part of the sauce. And sometimes it can be a little too salty, right? And so, but he's not where he is without that self-belief.
Really fun. And it's go read the piece. It's fun to relive the era of Dylan. Also in Memphis movies this week, we got a lot with you today. And I was curious about this because it seems like the kind of film I would go see. Bradley Cooper, Is This Thing On?
Yeah, I kind of liked it. I had someone actually text me about that last night. I was like, you know, go see it. If you think you're interested, go see it. There are people who hate that movie. Like, you know, yeah film critics. It is a very mixed reputation. And I don't love it. But I thought it was kind of interesting.
For those who hate it, what's there to hate?
Oh, you know, I mean, partly the way it's filmed, partly it's a little odd, but there are just not a lot of like, you know, this is Bradley Cooper directed this, Laura Dern and Will Arnett. And so it's, you know, there are not a lot of mainstream like adult movies, just about every day to day adult stuff out there anymore. Right. And so that's kind of refreshing about it. I would recommend it.
You can read the rest of what is happening in Memphis Film over at the Daily Memphian. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Talk to you tomorrow. Going to take a break. Sam Hardiman from the Daily Memphian is going to join us. Coming up next, Jeff Calkin Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Sam Hardiman. Sam Hardiman, of course, covers the city for the Daily Memphian. He's been nice enough to join us how long, Sam? How long has it been now that you've been popping on with me?
I think it's been pretty close to like two and a half years. It has to be, right? I think it was like spring of 23. So yeah, it's been probably 2.5 years, Jeff. We've probably done this 100+ times.
Wow. Well, in that span of time, the Patriots have reemerged as an NFL power, which is unfortunate. That's really too bad. Before we get to the news, how are you feeling about Chargers Pats?
I'm actually terrified, and it's because, like, for weeks you've tried to paint me, and I respect why you've tried to do this, as, like, the guy who has not suffered and is now back at the mountaintop without having to have Not you in
particular, just all Pats fans.
All Pats fans,
yes,
right.
100%.
And I have resisted that. But I tell you, my group chats with my buddies back home, they are complacent. They are cocky.
Wow.
They're arrogant. It is terrifying. It is like we are back, and Tom Brady and Drake May are synonymous, and we are just marching forward, and there's nothing that could go wrong. And, you know, the Chargers don't have any good players, and they don't have a good defensive line. It's like all this stuff. And I'm like, I'm terrified.
Jeffrey, should he be terrified? How about do you give the Chargers much of a shot here?
Is Justin Herbert playing a significant game?
Justin Herbert will be playing, and it is, I think we can say, a significant game.
Then no.
You've got nothing to worry about, Sam. Got nothing to worry about.
He's not a duck. He's a turtle.
He's not a believer in Justin Herbert. And this feels like to me when I was worried about the Bills playing the Pats in that wild card game. You get worried because you got to be. But come on, the Bills demolished the Pats back then, and I think the Pats are rolling. I do think going to Denver will be tricky, you know, if that's what it turns on. But it is weird. You have a legitimate chance to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's weird, and like I said, there's been little to no suffering, and so like I'm just suspicious of it, you know, because like my take is like I'm not really certain that the Patriots are better than a bad schedule good team. In that next year, when they have a harder schedule because they had a higher winning percentage this year, that they will maybe just be sort of a 8-9 team, a 9-8 team. And because the Patriots defense hasn't been particularly good.
Why does it feel like, by the way, if the Pats lost this week, it still would be a successful season. But why do I feel differently about the Pats than the Bears? Is it because the Pats are better than the Bears? I feel like the Bears they've done what they needed to do, everything they've needed to do this year. I guess losing to Green Bay would be a comeuppance because Green Bay is so diminished. But it feels like maybe it's because the AFC is so much more wide open than the NFC that it feels like the Pats really have some more work that could be done and should be done.
Yeah, I think it's just the Bears. Like the Bears have just been hapless, right? Like everyone just should be like happy for the Bears because like you're here and it's like Caleb Williams looks good and it looks like you don't have to go back, draft another quarterback for the 25th time in the past 35 years or whatever it's been, right? And for the Patriots, it feels like because you have this guy who's very clearly a top 6-7 quarterback in the NFL and then you have this coach who was a proven commodity in the same way that everyone kind of is looking at Harbaugh getting fired by the Ravens. Everyone sort of looked at Vrabel leaving the Titans like, why are you doing that? Right. And so that I think that's why there's expectations is because like to the combination of the two of them is that great.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing. I think you could make an argument that if there were a draft right now of all NFL players going forward, you can have who's there on the contract at their age going forward. You can make an argument that Drake May would go number one, given his youth, his sturdiness, his contract, all of that. So congratulations on that. By the way, I did hear, and I didn't know this, I had nothing to do with this transaction, but I'm happy to hear this if it's true, that you are going to be continuing with the J&J show. Is that right?
That is accurate. I didn't know it was a transaction.
Sadly, it's not much of a transaction.
You are the player to be named later.
Yeah, it's not much of a transaction. There's nothing being exchanged here except for your wisdom for your kindness. Like you are giving us and them your wisdom, and we are giving you nothing back. But that's the that's the nature of this transaction. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think apropos of that, I just wanted to thank you, Jeff, for these 2.5 years, because you know, our first interaction as people did not go great, and you had the foresight and the generosity of character to say, you know what, Sam Hartman might be a bit of a you know what, but I like him, and I'm going to try to educate the public and have him on the radio, and it's certainly boosted. Just in my profile, and it's been a great opportunity for me, and I'm really grateful for that. And I think, you know, to say other nice words here, I think, like, beyond we're going to miss Jeff Calkins on the radio for, you know, your humor and your intellect, but also I think you've done a very nice job for people such as myself and others of boosting their profile, and you've treated media as not a zero-sum game. And that is a really admirable thing, and I just wanted to say thank you for that.
Well, I appreciate that, Sam. For me, I appreciate your way. Truly, I generally have a rule. If someone's going to come on every week, they should be paid, and yet we don't do that for you. And so your willingness to come on and talk about the truth of the matter is I do care about sports, but I care about Memphis more. And so to have this segment, which is devoted to Memphis writ large, has been significant. And so it's been great having you, and I'm glad you're going to keep doing it with J&J. So enough of that sentiment. Onward we go. One of the things that we've written, that you've written about extensively, and have written about it recently since we last had you on, was the National Guard. Numbers got bigger, and they're going to be here, it appears, because of the legal proceedings for a while. Can you update us a little bit on the status of the National Guard?
Yeah, people may have even better idea than me because they've seen the National Guard about, and the National Guard appears to be kind of everywhere. There are about 850, or were in mid-December, about 850, 860 National Guard folks, and we know that because my colleague Aaron Fleming got most of the daily situation reports for the Memphis Safe Task Force since they've been here in Memphis, and he and I have been sort of grinding through those, and by grinding, I mean there was a lot of spreadsheet time over the holidays when I was working. And so what we were able to see is that, you know, in mid-November, the National Guard presence here went from about 150 to 160, from that to 200 for a couple of days, and then all the way up to about 900. And we reported that at the time, citing people familiar with the matter, but it's good for us to confirm our work and show people all of that. And so right now, yeah, you asked about the legal proceedings. Right now, we are waiting for oral arguments in the Tennessee Court of Appeals in March to determine whether or not the National Guard is going to stay in Memphis, Tennessee. And that means that there's a chance, and it would be great if the government would answer this question, anyone listening, the National Guard might be gone from Memphis by the time the legality of the National Guard's presence in Memphis is decided by the Tennessee Court of Appeals.
Yeah, I was going to ask, isn't there some thought that they would have wrapped up by then anyway? But they've right now, apart from whatever timetable may be forced upon them by the legal proceedings, they have given us no timetable for how long they're going to be hanging around?
At this time, you know, and I'm open to getting new information is on that front. I would like to know.
All right. Is there any reason by, again, these are things, it's a little surprising, or maybe it disappointing that we don't get answers to these questions, that there's no one to answer these questions, or they don't answer them. Do we know why the numbers went up? Like, was there some logic behind it? Are we not privy to that?
Yeah, I don't have knowledge of why the numbers went up. What we do know from essentially the authorizations that have been, because the federal government is paying for this, is a Title 32 deployment, which means the feds pay for it and the state, the local National Guard remains under the governor's control. So the governor, Bill Lee, is in this case commanding the National Guard, but the feds are paying for it. And so the feds had authorized payment up to 1,000 people. Secretary of War, Defense, PTEXF, I don't know what we're calling him these days, had authorized up to 1,000. So the 865 was just, you know, it's getting more towards that figure. No one has shared what was the operational need for 800-plus National Guard's people in Memphis, but I'm sure there's an answer there somewhere.
All right. The National Guard will, whenever they leave, they'll leave. But I think I gather from our previous conversations and from reading the Daily Memphian that the progress in bringing down crime rates has been preceded the National Guard and has been at least in partial part a product of all of the other folks and forces that have been brought to bear in Memphis, the alphabet of agencies that have been here. So even if the National Guard leaves, I think the hope from Memphis officials is that a lot of that support will be sustained.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly hope that there will be, you know, further collaboration with you know, this alphabet soup of agencies, and that you're sort of building connections between MPD and those agencies right now to facilitate crime fighting in the future. What their presence is going to be here after the Memphis State Task Force, which is, again, established by the President Trump's executive memorandum. What happens after that is dissolved. We don't know and what the presence is going to be, because one of the things people need to keep in mind beyond the National Guard is there's been roughly the equivalent of another police department with all this alphabet soup of agencies on the streets of Memphis since September 29th. And so that's really been helpful, you know, as a deterrent effect, people would say, in helping lower the crime rate, which, again, was already falling in 2025 and really was starting to fall in 2024 all the way into 2025 before the Memphis State Task Force was even on anybody's radar. Right. And so that is what's happened. And we're looking at now a murder rate in the city of Memphis, while still not good, actually very, very bad. That's a lot better than it was.
What is it?
30.1 murders per 100,000 people. So that means for every 100,000 residents of a city, there 30 of them would be murdered.
What did you say?
Not good, but a lot better than
down from down from
down north of 50 in 2023.
I see. So dramatic improvement there. You also did a really interesting piece along with your colleagues there, Bill Dries and Laura Testino and Aaron Fleming, and Jane Donahoe was a part of this as well, where you asked a lot of people about what they have thought of all of this. What was the reaction?
Yeah, I just want to be clear here that, like, I was sort of like the guy mopping up the floor on the basketball court while everyone else on the team was playing the basketball game on that particular story. But what they found and what my colleagues found talking to people at the Klondike Smoky City Parade, Christmas Parade, the downtown Christmas Parade, people on Beale Street that Laura talked to when we were out there together in October, was that people appreciate the quietness that they hear in the streets, particularly in a lot of Memphis neighborhoods where there has been some of these residents talking to us saying that there has been less going on in our neighborhoods since the Memphis Safe Task Force and the National Guard arrived. And while we've been making this distinction on the radio on the National Guard and Memphis Safe Task Force, it seems like regular people don't really know the difference. They know there is more people on the streets. They know that the police and the Tennessee Highway Patrol are much more visible, and they see this quiet in the neighborhoods, and they are happy about that, and they hope that it continues after this all ends. Some of them were apprehensive before. Others are still apprehensive. And there were some people who lived, for example, on Mud Island. Like, we live in a bubble on Mud Island. Nothing's changed for us because there wasn't crime to begin with, essentially. I'm paraphrasing that. But that's been the sentiment, is a lot of people in Memphis neighborhoods off the Papa Corridor are like, this has helped.
I think there is an appreciation of it, whether you're driving on 240. I think a lot of Memphians have noticed a difference and appreciate it. I think the question is, and the thing that is bothers people, and I'm editorializing here, bothers me, honestly, is that you wonder if the good that was accomplished could have been accomplished, or the bulk of it, without some of the, you know, particularly the excesses that have been brought to bear by ICE. Like, could the good have been done without some of the disruption to families and communities that we have also seen that has resulted in protests? And I think that's the question about this. I think a lot of the good could have been done. That's me editorializing, but I don't know. Was any of that reflected, the nuance there, reflected in the commentary in the piece?
Not necessarily, no. But I do want to point to another story that Aaron did and I helped on that we wrote a good deal, and he wrote, and we threw these situation reports about the hundreds of people that ICE has arrested after traffic stops in Memphis, Tennessee, that came to this country illegally and were arrested simply because there was a traffic violation, and then their immigration status was checked. And that's what happened. And what we've found in these public records is that happened to hundreds and hundreds of people in Memphis, Tennessee, over these past 3 months.
Right. And so this is not the worst of the worst. This is people who run a red light or whatever, don't have tags or something else. And then next thing you know, they're in Louisiana or somewhere at a, you know, anyway. Okay. What, Sam, before we let you go, What am I to look forward to in 2026 as the biggest stories in Metro Memphis news?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great question. I'm actually often wrong with these predictions, like really wrong. So, good. Like, I want everyone to just, like, take a grain of salt here.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, XAI is going to matter. Whether it's going to dominate the headlines like it's done for the last year and a half, I don't know. But XAI is certainly going to matter. It appears that Elon Musk's sites remain fixed on the Mid-South in Memphis and South Haven. I would also say that, you know, it's an election year. You know, I think 2026 is a midterm election year. And for the first time, and this is not a discredit to anyone else who has run against Steve Cohen in the past, but U.S. Representative Steve Cohen has a real primary challenger in terms of real name ID, Justin J. Pearson, the state representative from District 86, who's been prominent in the headlines for years in this city. And so it's going to be a really interesting primary race. That's in August. Between those two men in terms of the new and old guard of Memphis politics. And I would imagine people are really going to be fixated on that during the summer. Beyond that, I think it's what's going to happen with crime. Memphis has had sort of a banner year for crime reduction. And so as 2026 goes, and as we're then heading toward 2027, which will be a municipal election year, is crime continuing to go down in Memphis? Is the feeling that people have right now when they drive on the highways that it's safe, that no one's coming by at 100 miles an hour with drive-out tags because they know they're going to get pulled over by CHP. Does that persist? Or in 6 months from now, in the heat of summer, are people weary again? And that's going to be a really interesting thing and probably a big thing for the arc of the city. The final thing I would say is, you know, where are we in terms of the Grizzlies? In terms of, is there clarity with that situation? Is there clarity that they are – you know, locked in, or there's significant progress to signing that second lease? Because after this year, there's only going to be, I think, three more full basketball seasons. And so that's going to be an interesting thing. And I'm not trying to rev up that speculation engine, but that will be an interesting thing, I think, throughout 26 and certainly as we head toward 27.
Well, I'll be listening and reading, Sam, over at the Daily Memphian. Appreciate you popping on all of these many, many weeks. Thanks so much. And good luck to your Pats.
Thanks. Good luck with
them. See you, Sam. Bye. That's Sam Hardiman. We got to take a break. Back in a moment. Jeff Cockett, 92.9 FM ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Get it? With the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Thanks to John and Chris and Sam for joining us today. We've got news from the world of college and NFL football, Jeffrey. What is that?
Yeah, Jeff, Alabama's Ty Simpson, who according to ESPN is projected to be among the first quarterbacks selected in this year's NFL draft, is passing up his senior year of college and turning pro.
That is wild.
It is not a good quarterback draft, Jeff.
Well, that's the thing. This
is probably
Mendoza
smart.
Goes one.
If Dante Moore comes out, I think he goes
two. In terms of being picked high, it is probably smart.
Yeah.
Would it have helped his long-term career to come back and have another year of learning the craft? Or maybe you do that anyway. You crash and burn for 3 years, you move to another team, and then all of a sudden you get to be good. Maybe that's the path for some players in the NFL.
Being a career backup's not the worst.
he's going to go top five? We go top 12.
Yeah, top five feels like a stretch. He doesn't have a great arm.
No, he doesn't.
But neither does the guy that's probably going to go to number
one. Midway through the season, you could have seen this, and then he...
For sure.
Well, there's another opening. There's another opening at Alabama. Come on down. What is coming up next on 92.9?
Jeff, here's what's coming next on Jason and John. Coach Hurd joins them at 11:25. Coach will be with me today on Jeffrey Wright and company. Jason Munns will join the program at 2:35. Cobb will be with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We got to get out of here. Back tomorrow for Now Work is Done.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron and Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.